My name is Karen Howe, and I'm a health and physical education teacher in Tacoma, Washington. The past 2 years, I have been on leave, working primarily with the school district's wellness program, doing fitness appraisals and counseling, and coordinating a wellness lecture series for all the Tacoma School District employees. My interest and course of study the last few years have been in the spiritual side of health, along with the physical and mental. What has gotten me into this as a health educator, in a public school system, I was somewhat frustrated by not being able to include the Judeo-Christian spiritual aspect of health when talking about certain issues. Tonight I want to share with you and encourage you to share with us. We'll discuss health risks we can modify to improve our health and then relate it to what the Bible says about our health, about our bodies as temples. So with that, we'll start with the slides. If somebody upstairs, I have a health risk form to fill out. If somebody would like to come down and get a stack of them and pencils, please. Okay, the first slide. What kind of shape is America in physically? What kind of shape are you in? Is there any change? Oh, thank you. No, I just didn't have them. Can everybody see the slides? That would be great. Yeah, I think everybody can see. Thank you. Is there any change you would like to make in your health and lifestyle? Coronary heart disease. The 10 leading causes of death in 1983 were all within our control, three of which are heart disease, cancer, and accidents. These all have an impact on our well-being and health and affect those around us. A Harris poll was done found that 92% of the respondents believed that to eat nutritional foods, decrease smoking, maintain proper weight, and exercise regularly were more important than doctors and medicine. That was a Harris poll study done. That wasn't research. But it still kind of goes along with what this statement says here. The epidemic of heart attacks raging in our country is no mysterious bolt from the blue. It can be controlled and prevented if we can persuade Americans to change the lifestyles that have produced this modern epidemic. Our bad habits, overeating, diets too rich in saturated fats and cholesterol, excessive cigarette smoking, lack of exercise, our hectic living pace can be modified, and we can still retain a pleasant lifestyle. Coronary risk factors. Blood lipid, the fat abnormalities in our blood, hypertension, cigarette smoking, carbohydrate intolerance, overweight, diet, heredity, personality and behavior patterns, electrocardiographic abnormalities, and disorders in blood coagulation. Now, if there's any medical doctor in here or anybody that has any expertise in any of these in this field, please feel free to jump in if you know of any additional research or if you have any information to share with us. Now what I just handed out to you, the self-scoring test. If you want to take a look at that, this is a self-scoring test of heart attack and stroke risk. Now, coronary heart disease is just one aspect of health, and it is something we're looking at modifiable risks, things that we can control right here. I realize there's another area that's cancer that we could enter into all different kinds of areas, but tonight we're going to deal just with the coronary heart disease risks. First of all, modifiable risks. weight. If first in there, if you'll write down your actual weight, where the actual says, this slide might be, you need to write in your actual weight where it says actual. And then your desirable weight, if you're a man, look up your feet, how tall you are, and what your weight is. Now these charts, it's an average. As your fitness level goes up, some of these weights actually may be higher. These are based on average populations. This weight is taken right the very middle weight on the metropolitan weight charts.
Huh?
No, that's men. Right now, all the men get theirs.
Good.
Let's go to the women.
Oh, no.
And again, weight may not be a real actual guarantee of a risk, because your lean body mass, and along with your percentage of body fat, when you use that along with a weight chart, it is more accurate. But we don't have the capabilities to do body fats on everybody right now. Does everybody have that? Okay.
No, go back to that one.
Okay. Got it?
No, not that one.
Uh-oh, uh-oh.
You can't go backwards to that.
This one did not. It went back earlier. Wait, it did go back.
I screwed you up.
Okay. No, it's back now. It's back. There we go.
Hang on. Five. Yeah.
How old are your weight charts?
Is this these
are
were
heavy.
Huh?
These are real heavy.
Oh, are these heavy? No, because no, the newer ones are going up.
Because of lean body mass?
Because of lean body mass. Uh-huh. So this will give us a general score. Now, if you know what your percentage of body fat is, does anybody know what it is? If their weight is correct by their percentage of body fat, when we get to this, for men, if your percentage of body fat is 12 to 15%, when we get to the weight, enter in like a score of zero. Women, if you are, 22% or lower, go ahead and enter in a zero score when we get to that.
A zero score for what?
Okay, when we get here. Okay, desirable weight. Okay, now you need to take the differential of your ideal body weight and your actual body weight. You subtract the actual from your desirable, and you come up with a differential score. So if you are, your desirable weight, if you're at a desirable percentage of body fat that you know of, enter the score zero.
Can it be negative?
Huh?
Can it have negative one?
You wouldn't have. On this. Now there's a chance where you may get some negative scores in at the very, very end. Give a score of one if you're up to 9 pounds excess. A score of 2 if you're 10 to 19 pounds overweight. Score of 3, 20 to 29 pounds excess. And score of 4 if you're 30 pounds or more. Okay, blood pressure. If you know what your blood pressure is, go ahead and use the second one if your upper limit is 110. If you do not know what your blood pressure is, take a look at what your salt intake is and see if you can get an idea of what you are, of where it is. And enter in a score. Are there any questions on that one? Okay, yes.
If you're taking medication and you know about where it runs at a certain level.
Yeah. Use what it is on your medication.
Can
Any other questions? Okay. Yes?
This isn't age weighted at all, right?
No, this isn't age, no. Smoking. The American College of Sports Medicine guidelines state that we cannot even give exercise programs to people, to smokers without physician approval, because it's a major risk factor in smoking. I just want to show you this. The smoking advertisements make the people look healthy, make people look happy. But then you get to what a smoker's lung looks like, and you know what it's doing to the health. Stress. There is a new book out about stress. Looking at this picture, you know, a traffic jam. You know, what are you thinking? Angry, mad, hot, reacting, type A. What are you thinking as you relate to stress? Your stress, rare business. They're looking at those things as you're trying to decide what you need to do. There's a new book out, and it's just brand new, Super Immunity. Have any of you heard of it? By Paul Purcell. I've read it. And it's an excellent book. It's about, it's well documented, and it helps us evaluate our stress behaviors that get us into trouble with our health and how we view our world and ways we can balance our lives out. I don't know, do you have anything you want to add from reading the book?
No, I haven't. I didn't mean to say I read it.
You've heard of it, okay. But it's well documented, copyright 1987, and ways of balancing out our stress. Okay, anybody need to go on?
What was the author again?
Paul Purcell, PhD. I will have these books up here that I'm mentioning if you would like to check. I mean, if you want to look through them. And here we are getting cholesterol. If you know what your cholesterol level is, please go by that. If you do not know what the cholesterol is, go by the amount of the saturated fat that you consume in your diet. As the higher your cholesterol level goes, the more prone, the higher the risk of coronary artery disease. It builds up, the cholesterol levels build up in your coronary arteries and your arteries in your body. They say generally 180 to 200. Below 200 is okay. When it gets to be 200 to 250, there's moderate concern. And over 250, it needs to be watched. I have an article in the Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, April 1987 issue, if you want to read more about that. All things. Again, this is a picture of two arteries. One is clear, the other one is built up with the plaque caused from cholesterol. Next one is dealing with activity. And as you're thinking about activity, you know, if you're golfing, you know, are you riding around in a car? Now, people that have time to, you know, to play golf and riding a cart, you know, that's okay. But when we're talking about getting the right kind of exercise to improve your cardiovascular health, it's not the most efficient. Jogging or walking is more effective. To our activity give yourself a zero if you brisk walking 5 times per week, 45 minutes each. Vigorous exercise or any other kind of very vigorous exercise for 4 or more times per week for at least 20 minutes. Brisk walking 3 times a week for 30 minutes, give yourself a score of 1. Vigorous exercise 3 times per week, 20 minutes each. 2, brisk walking, give yourself a score of 2. Brisk walking 2 times per week, 30 minutes each. Vigorous exercise 1 to 2 times per week for 20 minutes. 3, normal walking 2.5 to 4.25 miles daily. Occasional exercise, score 4, normal walking less than 2.5 miles daily, or exercising rarely. In Runner's World, in June 1987, in the magazine, there was an article by George Sheehan, and he's talking about this Dr. Cristobal Mendez, who wrote a book 400 years ago, and his advice was exercise first, and that helps eliminate some of the other potentially bad things that we do for ourselves, diet, smoking, stress. It, no matter what we take out of our life, by exercising, we will always improve our fitness. These are non-modifiable risks, the next thing that we get into. First thing we can't modify is our age. But we still can give ourselves a score on here. As you get older, the coronary heart disease risk does go up. No heart disease in the family, give yourself a score of 0. Score of 1 relative over 60 with a heart attack. Score of 2 for 2 or more relatives over 60 with heart attack. Score of 3, 1 relative under 60 with heart attack. And score of 4, 2 or more relatives under 60 with heart attack. This is your modifying score. You look over things in your life that you have already, that if you've changed, you can subtract 1 if your dietary fiber intake is high, almost all cereals, whole grain, almost no sugar, considerable fruit and vegetables. So as if you eat like Holden Village daily. 2, add 1 point if smoke cigarette down to the butt. 3, a score of 3, if you are taking estrogen or birth control pills, add 1 point if score is 12 or below. 2 points if the risk score is 13 or above.
That should be modified. As a gynecologist, there is excellent evidence that taking estrogen as a replacement hormone protects against heart attacks and cardiovascular disease.
Okay.
And there are a large series now to prove that.
Is okay.
The risk on birth control pills, as long as the dosage is under 50 micrograms, is virtually the same as a person who doesn't take a birth control pill. So I think that information is gained from back late 70s, early 80s, when there was a lot of concern and no studies.
Okay, that could possibly be. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that, and that's something I haven't heard at this point. Add 2 points of diabetes controlled by tablets. Add 3 points if diabetes is controlled by insulin. Add 4 points of diabetic complications. Okay, in interpretation, your score risk, below 6, well below average. 6 to 11 points below average. 12 to 16 points at average. 17 to 21 moderate. 22 to 27 dangerous. Less than 27 extreme. More than 27 extreme. Now,
Can you add both together?
Mm-hmm. Add them both all together. Now, okay, can I have the lights on?
Yeah.
Yeah, some in the back corner, just turn this on.
Please, I'd say that can...
Sorry if I would blow up this.
Okay, and we're going to be going on. Now, the doing a risk analysis screen is being done more and more. Obviously, the more risks that you have, the more your higher the chance of coronary heart disease. This is not meant to be a diagnosis at all. It only gives you an indication or point of reference that all of these factors enter into your health. And it's just in the physical side of your health. What I'd like to go into, what we're going into next, is we're given one body to last us a lifetime. Does anybody have any questions about this, the risks factor? We are going to keep this. We're going to be, talking about exercise and diet later on. And this is just one indication and one area of your total health. We do live in a throwaway society, and I think we need to take a better look at our health and what we are doing to our bodies. I know what happened. I didn't change that. Is your body a temple? And do you take care? Okay, where are you? Is your body a temple? Do you treat and care for your body as though it were a temple? Some of us take better care of our cars, our homes, than we do of our own bodies. There's a book that I got. It's Your Body, His Temple. It was written by Dr. A.L. Heller. I got at a Bible bookstore in Tacoma. And it's a good book talking about health. It's not as new as I'd like it to be, but some of the spiritual side of health is good. We look at health as a state of health is a state of wholeness and fulfillment of man's being. There was a professor at Pacific Lutheran University who used to always speak at our church, Christ Lutheran, in Tacoma. And he'd say we are to be stewards with our gifts. Our body is a gift. Our bodies are on loan to us. We are like a trinity of mind, body, and spirit. And it is a great responsibility of ours to keep this in balance. Health is seen as the fullness and completeness of life. How do we get there? What does that mean to us as Christians? Health is not referred to in the Bible in primarily physical terms. It's referred to in three different areas: ethical health, obedience to God's law, spiritual health, righteousness, which is basically a right relationship with God, and physical health, strength, and long life. If we look at the spiritual, are you spiritually what God planned you to be? Or, physically, are we, when we look at strength and long life, are you physically what God planned you to be? Shalom. In the Old Testament, the word that came, in the Hebrew Bible, the term that comes closest to the word expressing health is shalom, meaning wholeness, completeness, and well-being in every sphere of life, whether physical, mental, or social. Wholeness, health, and holy are all derived from the same word. I was reading another book recently that went along with that. I don't know if any of you read books by Scott Peck, but he has a new book out, The Different Drum, and was speaking of that. He referred to it in that book also. In the 29th Psalm, verse 11, he talks strength is equaled with shalom. In several places in the shalom is regarded as a gift of God. In Psalms 29, strength is not referred to just in the physical sense, but throughout his whole being. The New Testament in health, it's seen as wholeness, well-being, soundness, life, strength, and salvation. Paul would in Corinthians, I realize some of the things that he does say can be extreme, but he does make a point. The Apostle Paul tells us, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. That was 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. Again, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Next, we have knowledge through the Father, the Son, and eternal life. I think we're given a gift, and we're bought at a price. I think of even the verse John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that we could have eternal life. In summary, the Old Testament, life is measured by quantity and time. The New Testament, life is measured by the quality of eternity, where quantity and duration have no relevance. He said, a wholeness is given to us now and promised at the end. Three things that I found. We were created in the first place, and two, we were created in his image, and he came after us when we strayed through sin. We are worthwhile in the highest sense of the word, and we must guard this investment in us. One of the greatest gifts of God is life itself, and we stir up this life by affirming life, by refusing to let ourselves into negative, defeating attitudes of mind or routines of living. And so what are some of these routines? What happens when we realize that our life is a gift? And what happens to us when we stir up the gift of life? And I think, can someone turn off the slides back there, please? And I think we need to leave the fan on also. So this is the end of this presentation. I want you to start thinking about what has happened, that we are like the Trinity of a mind, of mind, body, and spirit. Anybody? I think, if we think back to our educational process and family life, was one or two more predominant than the others? Were some left out or excluded from your life as you were growing up? Or are there things in your life right now that have a tendency to be excluded? Or not, maybe not as predominant as they should be? Okay, well, but my experience has been, I'm thinking as far as teaching and working with people, the physical side of life seems to be left out. There's been an overstress, I think, within schools and people to develop their mind and their spiritual side. School, predominantly, you developing the mind, and sometimes the spiritual side's left out. Sometimes the physical side is left out of people's life. They see that as not being as important as other aspects of life.
You know, I come from a life where I was brought up being active, and that, you know, that was what I was taught. And now I sit at a state in my life where I feel in really good shape, but I also see that I missed out on some of the educational opportunities, you know. But I kind of say to myself, well, God gave me the gift of athletics, and he gave someone else the gift of mind. And I'm not so sure that God looks at the unathletic person and the person that's overweight, and, well, I know he loves us all, but obviously he's not, you know, being that critical. But I don't think that that's bad for necessarily for the person to be that way, because they may be using the gifts that God gave them within their intellectual ability or whatever that are going to far outdo what I'm able to do in that area. So I think, you know, God has made different kinds of people. And, I mean, I'm an athletic person. I think I should eat healthy and, you know, get in all this stuff. And yet I can look at the person who's not that way and say, well, gee, that's really neat. Look what they're able to do with their time. And I almost feel like I'm wasting time sometime when I'm out over my exercise.
Okay.
The point is, though, to balance that, to, you know, to make some reasonable balance between those spiritual, intellectual, and physical aspects that we have, to one to enhance the other.
Okay.
Because it's like a wheel that's not balanced, or won't, you know, size.
It's nice if you can learn that early in life.
I think, you know, kind of of the potter's wheel too, that if there's not a center even to come from, and you know, and some people do the extreme on the physical side also, where they're kind of there's an overzealous tendency that they do everything for their own personal health, and it's like their own health becomes their god. So that can happen too. How do we become educated persons regarding our health and wholeness?
Paper.
You read the paper. There is a lot. What are some things that you do in your life to physically enhance your body? Or to physically enhance your spiritual side? How do you balance that in your life? Now, what kind of balance are you achieving in your life right now, combining your mind, body, and spirit?
You have to give some validity to what you do. If you're going to take time for meditation or for prayer, for study, for your spiritual aspect of your life, as you do intellectual, then you have to take time, give some validity to the time that you spend exercising and preparing foods properly. And, you know, those things are important. They're time-consuming, but you have to, in order to make them part of how you live, you have to give them validity and say, this is important. This is part of me. This is part of how I'm going to be. And it's important.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give it as much importance as you do those other things. And I think that's where we become very off-balance.
Okay. I know there was a study done. Ken Cooper, in his book Aerobic Program for Total Well-Being, he stated that, you know, life expectancy increases 11 years or more by following these guidelines: eating 3 meals per day, exercise 3 times per week, eat breakfast, avoid snacks, and getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep. What does that extra 11 years or more mean to your life as a Christian?
And that's quality time.
Uh-huh.
That's not just adding what medical science has given us. I mean, you're adding quality time, health time.
Mm-hmm. So in that, you know, to me, that seems that, you know, that could be 11 years or more time of serving other people. Or do we have a Christian responsibility to take care of our bodies? In the Old Testament even, there were some things that referred to that where people walked. Who walked 50 miles? Huh? Does anybody in here have Bible passages that they know that where people did things physically?
Okay. I know where this.
Oh, Paul always talks about how, you know, he uses examples of being, well, like all those examples, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, you know, and, you know, he's tying the games, the Olympic games, to a physical, to a spiritual thing, you know, mm-hmm. and like, oh, like the boxer guy that, you know, he trains his body, you know, and how our, using our bodies as a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. which is our spiritual worship. I can't think of people that specifically said that they walked.
But Jesus walked all
yeah,
the
yeah, time. Yeah, there was one thing I wanted to.
That's all they did was walk. Maybe they went out and run.
Well, they did. No, there was one thing I just.
It was at 5:30 in the morning when he got up early. He could have been going for a run.
Yeah. Could. Can you think of, you know, instances in your life where you've had to be able to do something, you know, physically, or you've had to even put your own life in danger, or your own physical health in danger, or you know, get for somebody else? Yeah. Okay,
You talk about physical fitness, and that's really only an industrialized problem. Back when we were agrarian, we were out plowing the fields, and you were toting water and chopping wood, and we got plenty of exercise under those circumstances. But now we drive our cars to the places we want to go. We go to the supermarket for our food, and the farmer sits in a tractor and plows with his hi-fi going.
Right.
And so I think we've created the physical problem in terms of how well we have learned to take care of ourselves in an overall sense. And so that's something that we now have to face as what do we do with that problem. Mm-hmm. That's fairly new for us. Also fairly new for us are a lot of the nutritional things that I assume you're going to talk about.
Right.
And that, you know, we've spent a lot of research and a lot of effort taking all the fiber out of the food, and now what they do is they take the fiber out of the food, they package the food, they package the fiber, and now they sell you two different products that you can add back together in your kitchen. And I think that, so, but at least there's the awareness now coming that has to change. Sometimes I think we'd be better to throw away the food and eat the box at Caveman.
Wednesday we'll be talking about fitness, and Thursday predominantly with the nutrition food side and with the food and what we're putting into our bodies. So this was predominantly to get, you know, start thinking of what is our responsibility as a Christian. Why do we need to keep healthy bodies? Pardon?
It's fun.
Oh. Hey, how much time can you give to your body? To give to yourself daily, to care for your body? Is there a set amount of time that you need? I think about people that are that don't seem to have time to put exercise into their daily lives. How many of you, have any of you ever found that you don't have time to fit that fitness program into your life? Or how many of you have heard people say, I just don't have time to exercise. I know I should, but I don't have time. You ever heard that? Mm-hmm. I heard someone say, well, I mean, people don't have time, but they always have time to get dressed. You don't see anybody walking around, you know, naked. They always have time to get their clothes on. But they're the same people that don't have time to exercise, but they still have time to eat. And we do need to nourish our bodies. But how much time do you think it takes daily to get where you want to?
Take an hour?
Huh?
Take an hour?
Some people may like to take an hour, and it's, you know, it's nice if you have that much time, but you know, but it's 20 to 30 minutes a day is all it takes to get the kind of the physical activity that you need. Okay, thank you.
Talking about a brisk walk.
Brisk walk. wristwatch. And the some people say to get the right amount of exercise for walking is 45 minutes 5 days a week. And jogging, you can get the same amount of exercise 3 to 5 times a week for 30 minutes. So it depends on what you do.
Do you measure physical activity by the length of the time that you spend, or your heart rate?
Okay.
Over the period of time, or the activity over the period of time? How are you measuring that?
Okay, we are all of those things. Okay, intensity, and we're going to be going over this more specifically on Wednesday, but you want to do something 20 to 30 minutes at 60 to 80% of your maximum heart rate. We're going over those formulas, which is you take your age minus, take 220 minus your age, and take 60 to 80% of that, and you get a target heart rate. And then you want to do that 4 times a week or more to improve your health, 3 times a week to maintain where you are. Anything less than exercising, anything less than 3 times a week, you're actually, losing fitness. There's a couple books on the spiritual side that I found in My Body, My Life. I got this up at Holden Village a couple years ago. If anybody wants to, go through it. If anybody wants to borrow any of these books while you're here, I'm up in Chalet 8 if you would like to come get some or look through these at the end. Aerobics for Women. Any of Ken Cooper's books are good. The only book that was that Ken Cooper's written that's up in the bookstore is Aerobics for Women. And I realize it's an older book, but it has good information in it. The Aerobics Way is another one of Ken Cooper's books that I've used. General information about physical activity. The Ultimate Athlete I got up here last year, and I was hoping they'd have more in the bookstore. They do not. The copyright on it it's by George Leonard. I don't know. It was written back in 70, copyright was in 74, but it's an older book, but it still has good information. The other book that they do have in the bookstores, the Don't Eat Your Heart Out cookbook. Have any of you heard of that? It's Joe Piscatella wrote the book. He lives in Tacoma. He had a heart attack when he was 32 years old. He was he exercised, played tennis about every day, and he exercised, but he, found himself having bypass surgery when he was 32, and how he had to make a lifestyle change. It's good to read because it shows how he went about changing his diet and lifestyle, and how they did it with their family. And they took one step at a time. They didn't try and change, he didn't change his diet, exercise, and all of it at one time. He took it in steps. And there's also excellent recipes in the book, and good recipes for people that like to entertain and for normal diet. I also have lots of information from the American Heart Association. That if you have an American Heart Association in your community, you can go down and get one of each. There's no charge. So if any of you would like to come take any of this information, please feel free to do so. There is one other thing that I have to hand out if you want to do this. It's a health style self-test, and it takes a look at the different aspects of your health, and it's a self-scoring tool. Take one, do it on your own. There's a key on the back, and you can read about it. There's also an address if you want to send away for more information.